Before we jump in, a warning that we are an explicit book podcast.
Yes, that means swearing, shitty jokes, and a whole lot of dark humour that some may take offence to.
Please check your trigger warnings on all of the books we cover.
You've been warned.
The episode starts in 3, 2, 1.
A book and a bear.
Hello everyone and welcome back to A Book and a Bev. It is time to grab your pens, grab your pals, and I've got all of mine here this afternoon. We've got Tay Reads, we've got Caitlin, and your normal hosts, Georgia and Bryony. But obviously, the main attractions this week are Tay and Caitlin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us. I'm so excited to join the chaos once again.
So the reason why you're grabbing your pens along with your pals tonight is because we are covering a favorite, which is Pen Pal by J.T. Geisinger.
J.T. Geisinger or J.T. Justin Timberlake?
Justin Timberlake.
Look, this book is bringing sexy back in a weird kind of primal kick way, but that's fine. Yeah.
If you like bunnies.
The bunnies.
I had blocked that entire thing out.
I also did black it out. And then when I reread it, I said to Bryony, be warned, there is a pet name that you will hate.
Yeah, I think that's why it wasn't a 5-star read for me. I took off half a point because of bunnies.
All right, what are we drinking today, ladies?
I am drinking Jack and Coke as per normal, but I swear it is thematic because they have whiskey in that bar that one time.
That one time, one chapter, they do have it.
Say less.
Gotta link it back every single time to the Jack and Coke. I've got a ghost martini that's almost empty, but it's silky and spooky.
And milky.
And so strong. Yeah. It's vanilla vodka and Bailey's. And then I topped it up with a bit of milk because I'm already drunk.
Slay.
Tonight I am drinking a bloody fucking ghost. I actually didn't use like any of the ingredients and all I've got is a vodka raspberry and a lime. So it's actually just a fancy vodka raspberry.
The lime.
What Jesus the fuck Christ. Is that?
This one I call Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. And it is exactly what you think it is, which is what our girl sees when she dies. She's dead. It's vodka and lemonade with black food dye that I put way too much in because I stressed myself out about it. And then I stirred it around heaps.
It looked good for a little bit there.
Before it was like lighter and it had like little shadows and stuff from the gel. And it looked really cool. Now it doesn't.
You try.
Now it looks a bit concerning.
You get points for effort. It's fine.
I'm going to have black teeth. I look like how she looks when she dies. You know, when she starts to, what's the word?
I like we're all like, how do you look when you're drowning? And we all just went.
But like, you know, when they're
decomposing.
Decomposed. I'm like decompressed.
When I'm decomposing, when my teeth are all like.
Yes.
Anyway, so what were our thoughts on the book?
Well, what in the Casper's Friendly Ghost was this book? I was honestly not expecting much of this book. I'd heard good things, but I was like, I'm sure it'll just be like super smutty with a barely coherent plot, and that's fine. Like, I was here for it. Instead, we got like a fantastically haunting story about love, loss, and the power of the pussy. I finished it in under 24 hours, and I loved it. I could have gone without the little bunny, but I could repress that quite easily given how compelling the story was, so that was fine. The internal monologue of Kayla was like hilarious in parts, and the dynamic between her and Aiden like made so much sense for why it felt like insta love, and that just made it hurt more, like when you know the full story. Whilst I had some ideas, like I thought that Dante was Aiden, I did not call the plot twist of her being dead and Aiden being dead, and that made it like so much better for me. It's honestly like really hard to surprise me at this stage with books, but this book definitely did it for me, so I was very impressed.
For sure.
So it was my second read of the book. I mean, I really liked it. I read it first at the start of the year when Taylor told me to, and I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. I really enjoyed the mysterious element to it. The plot twist threw me for a loop. I think I picked it up about a page before it actually revealed, and I was like, Taylor, is she dead?
I do remember that.
I do really like J.T. Geisinger. She does a really good job at talking about grief, how it affects different people in different ways, especially the way that Kayla like rationalizes her memory loss and all the different symptoms that she experiences, how she neglected her self-care and things like that. And honestly, I can relate. I did pick up on a lot more foreshadowing on the second reread, which I think is a given. I didn't like the excessive use of Bunny. It was a lot. I honestly blocked out all of it, but it's fine. Overall, it was a solid read. I'd recommend it for the mystery with the smuttiness, but the Bunny, I could just take it away. I hated it.
Yep, absolutely.
If I'm ever looking for a book with banging smut, I always know to look no further than JT. And this book did not disappoint. It not only gave me the spice, but it also made me nearly shit my pants at that fuck off plot twist.
Whoa.
Yeah, quite literally. Even though the slightest bit of scary vibe sends me right back to therapy, I honestly ate this up and enjoyed every second. So it's yes from me, minus the bunny fucking. Like the yes to the fucking, but no to the bunny.
Protect the bunny.
Well, sometimes I get asked what I look for in a 5-star read. I say that it has to have at least some sort of romance, if not mind-altering smut, then I at least need some kind of like romantic tension somewhere along those lines. It needs to have a good plot, a good backbone so that you're invested in the story, and it needs to have a plot twist, because I fucking am a slut for a plot twist. I'm a dirty little slut.
We know. We all know that. Yep.
No one is shocked by this news.
Thank you. This book had every single one of those things. You follow Kayla's journey and uncover her past as she does. You go through her trauma discovery. A woman who was the victim of a man, and the man like that she literally once loved more than life herself, who refused to take his medication and in a psychotic break killed her and her new partner. And although Kayla doesn't get her like real life happy ending where her and Aiden get their fairy tale fuck-filled life, she still manages to find peace with herself, her life, and with Aiden, which is just really lovely. The ending was like the perfect cherry on top for me, because fuck you, Michael. I hope you fucking rot. And P.S. If anyone ever called me a fucking bunny rabbit, I would cut their genitalia off. Full stop.
Chop it right off.
All right. So in this book, we have Kayla, our FMC, recent widow, and the embodiment of trauma fucked.
Can relate.
We also have Aiden, who is broody, dark, and tattooed roofer, not to be confused with George's partner, Aiden, who is also a tattooed roofer. Then we've got Dante, who is prison pen pal. Then we have Michael, who is Kayla's deceased genius husband, ... We start the book off, and the quote for part one is a quote from the Divine Comedy, which of course, for those of us who grew up with the City of Bones book one in the Mortal Instruments series by Cassandra Clare, we know that the path to paradise begins in hell. Fuck it up. We start off and her husband is like going in the ground sick. He died in some sort of accident and left her like a young widow with like a fucked up mansion. And our FMC leaves the cemetery and has like no memory of driving home, which is also very relatable because sometimes I just simply do not know how I get from point A to point B, which is just very concerning.
It is.
If yes. You are the government, that is not the case. I am fully aware of everything I do on the road. Redact that.
That was not on record.
As she's grieving, she gets like some random ass envelope from someone called Dante, who is like, good afternoon, I will wait forever, or some shit. And she writes back saying like, what are you waiting for? She gets a response and it's like, you. But like, it's a letter, so it doesn't really have the husky tone, but I'm just imagining it. It's like, you.
He has a cold.
Yeah, and there's just like some fun blood stains on it as well. So that's super cool and unhygienic. Kayla gets a repairman named Eddie to come check the house over, but it's just some weird shit. Or is it? Da da da! Either way, another letter appears from Dante and he is like, I can still taste your skin, but don't be freaked out. And Kayla is like theorizing because that would be very concerning if someone was like, I know what your flesh tastes like. That's not chill. That's not romantic. That's like a little bit like cannibalism.
I was going to say it's giving cannibal.
It's giving Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, it is. It's giving Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm a lampshade. Kayla is theorizing about what is happening and like she just assumes she's being scammed. Like it's giving Nigerian prints. But we digress because her specialist roofer arrives and enter Aiden, which again, also a roofer called Aiden. I'm just staring at you, Georgia. Okay, Aiden is stern and sexy in everything she doesn't normally go for. He is rude to her, but she quickly puts him in his place for hiding in the office and crying.
Honestly.
Relatable. Thanks. Kayla writes back to Dante, essentially telling him that she's not worth the scam. And then her and Aiden have like banter, which I do thoroughly enjoy the banter. That was fantastic. Bad news though, the roof is fucked. Good news, Aiden just happens to be able to help her out for half the price. So that's convenient, which again, it all makes sense at the end. why everything was so cheap. The next day, Aiden shows up for work, but she just cannot deal with it. And she sends him away, only to see that she now has, like, the bruise of a handprint across her throat.
Oh my God, it's Taylor.
She's appeared out of the blue and chucked her out in her sleep. Taylor tries to attend a grief group, but that just flops too. So instead, we go to like the next best type of therapy, which is, of course, alcohol, only to find Aiden at the bar. And like, he shields her with his body while she nearly cries in a public space. And she tells him that her husband has left her, but that's not the case because he's dead.
D-E-D. He did.
Aiden goes, if the grief group and alcohol isn't the right therapy, then maybe my dick is. And the quote we get is, you said you were a good BS spotter. So tell me if you think this is BS. I want you. You want me too. You're sad. I want to make you feel better, even if that only means for tonight. You're not afraid of me. You know I won't hurt you. You're just a little fucked up right now, and you're not used to people saying exactly what they mean, and you're not sure how to handle it.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong, actually. I don't like it when men are right.
True.
He kisses her, and she describes it as electric. He is like, the only thing I need in this life is to make you come. And that's a bit much, so she just leaves.
She's like, actually, no, I'll see you later.
Good day, sir.
Oh my God, I was about to be like, she does a Taylor and she ghosts him, but she is a ghost.
The double meaning.
Taylor gets another letter from Dante with literally like no answers, just poetry, which is great. Taylor puts the letter in a drawer and like goes to bed.
In red, violets and blue.
Just quietly, violets and blue.
So sorry.
She's so haunting as well. Caleb goes to bed, only to be woken up by the sound of someone in her house, which again jump scare Taylor. Just brace yourself.
Taylor screams.
I'm back in therapy.
House in no shoes, just wet pajamas, and he helps her dry off and listens to her story, and then he tells her that like obviously she needs to change into dry clothes, and we learn that his mattress is on the floor, like he has no bed frames. That's just a huge red flag, babe. Yeah.
That isn't it. But he's also dead. What I mean, can we say about it?
So to be fair, he's
dead. Does he even sleep at all? He's dead.
With the way they're fucking, I don't think he does. Either way, she obs is not wearing any underwear and decides, you know what? Fuck it. Let's fuck this guy.
So that's exactly what she does. She gets absolutely railed, and we get this beautiful quote. His weight. God, his weight is amazing. Michael weighed 165 after a big meal. Aiden must be well over 200 pounds of pure muscle. So yeah, nothing like the comparison to your dead husband to get the juices flowing, I say. Once they're finished, Aiden gives her no choice. He's like, hey, you're coming home with me. You're staying the night. See you in the morning. Don't let the bed bugs bite. We pick back off the following morning when Kayla has woken up to a present. It's Aiden's cock. He's ready to go again. This is when we start getting some interesting dialogue. Aiden says, I'm going to devour you, little bunny rabbit. Piece by tasty piece, I'm going to eat you up.
Wow.
Yeah. It's from like the bears and the porridge.
Goldilocks.
Goldilocks. The three bears.
Giving me
this one's just right.
I'm unsettled. Yeah.
It's from here on out that we realize that Aiden's favorite animal is a bunny rabbit, and it does become quite concerning as the book moves on. After all the bunny fucking, we get a nice little moment of aftercare. They both mutually decide to keep the good vibes going. Aiden starts discussing safe words, and Kayla's like, babe, we don't need no safe word. Kayla starts sensing some weird vibes and asks if he's ever hurt someone before, and he says, yes, not from sex though, and it wasn't an accident.
Well, we got the red flag of the mattress on the floor, and I'm pretty sure that's worse than the murder.
That is actually quite true. No, it's the bunny rabbit that's worse than that. Yeah, so no surprise there. He explains that his father was abusive to his mother and he couldn't do anything about it when he was younger. But when he grew up, see you fucking later. She really doesn't actually give a fuck and is like, look, it's fine. Cue Nobody's Perfect by Hannah Montana.
Nobody's perfect. I gotta work it till I get it right.
So yeah, they head back to Kayla's and Aiden goes inside first to suss the place out. Everything's all G. No one is there and there are no signs of any break-ins. Aiden organizes his good old mate Jake to come over and install a security system. Jake starts grilling Kayla, saying, what are your intentions with my son?
Not in this house.
Not in this household. But whilst this is happening, she can't help but notice a man standing in the yard near the water. And this is my cue to leave. Goodbye.
Taylor's legging it.
We get this quote. I catch a glimpse of Wyatt as the man bares his teeth like an animal. It's actually Edward from Twilight. As soon as Kayla looks away for a split second, Edward is gone.
Edward!
I've got the skin of a killer, Bella.
Thank you, thank you.
It was Edward breaking in all along.
It was actually Edward the entire time.
I like to watch you sleep.
Yeah, it was actually Edward. And that's why he was there at night.
It all
makes sense. I think it makes sense.
It's a possibility.
Oh my God, slay!
Who are you?
Kayla's staring out the window, screaming. Actually, she's up all night.
It's a possibility.
Like, every time she's in the house, she's just haunting it. Like, she's a ghost. It's just like a lovely family trying to vibe, you know, build their life.
It's me. So it's me in that house.
Like, I'm playing in my cars, and she's just in the corner. Is a possibility.
It's daytime, and Kayla is feeling brave. Honestly, same. So she decides to head outside and investigate. There are zero footprints or any signs of anyone ever being there. But a glint from the ground catches her eye. It's a buffalo nickel, apparently. And we're like, why the fuck do we care? So apparently it was a nickel that Michael had valued. He carried it everywhere with him. And at this point, Kayla starts absolutely spiraling and decides to write Dante a letter. And suddenly, it's 3 a.m. Of course, everything scary has to happen at this time.
Absolutely.
She's sitting downstairs and she starts to hear the floorboards creaking upstairs as if someone is walking around.
No.
Fucking Disturbia by Rihanna.
Honestly, this says burn the house. Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun.
What's wrong with me?
Why do I feel like this? I'm going crazy now. Kayla immediately checks the cameras. There is no sign of any break-ins, standard. It's only when she heads downstairs that she notices every single cupboard and drawer is open in the kitchen, and immediately I would be running the fuck out of there.
Again, burn the house down. Can't
burn the
safe.
Fucking house down to the ground. Kayla freaks the fuck out once again, yeeting herself into the office and barricading herself in there until the morning. Of course, in the morning, there's nothing fucking there. Disturbia. So shortly after this, she gets a booty call from our old mate Aiden. While she's been on the phone, she finds herself staring at a wedding photo of herself and Michael. And we get this quote. Michael gazes down at me. He's smiling widely, handsome even in profile, one arm wrapped around my waist. I stand next to him, looking directly at the camera. Unlike Michael, I am not smiling. And I, what does that mean? And I jumped off a cliff. And I
What does it mean? What does it mean?
Fucking hell.
Smileysaurus. She also notices a bruise on her arm in the shape of a thumb. That gives me the ick a bit because thumbs are a bit gross.
So it's a bruise on the arm in the shape of a thumb. Is it just the thumb pad or is it like...
Well, that's what I mean. I'm like, thumb, that's a bit unsure about that.
How would you tell it's a thumb?
It would have to be the thumb pad. However... it would be hard to tell that it was a thumb.
It's just a random blob. It could be anything.
It could be anything. Once again, for the 50th time, she's freaking the fuck out. She decides to do full cross country all the way to Aiden's house. Before she can even trauma dump, Aiden's like, no, you're too hot to be sad. Ha ha. And rips her clothes off.
Hard to be so sad.
Okay. And rips her clothes off, whispering sweet nothings about how she's a dirty little bunny.
Not the bunny rabbit.
Yeah, wait. Here we go. Kayla starts to feel a little guilty because she hasn't been totally honest with Aiden. She says, my husband is dead. He fell off our boat and drowned. I watched it happen. The splashing and screaming. Michael's desperate cries for help growing weaker as the boat drifted further and further away. Those are the beautiful thoughts that puts Kayla to sleep. She's like, oh, sweet dreams. Good night.
I'm gonna sleep like a baby.
Good night, listening to the, like, thinking about my husband dying,
oh
my hubby.
God.
Kayla leaves the following day to head home, and the moment she's alone, the world is like, absolutely fucking not. Here's one for you. She hops into the car, only to find that same motherfucking nickel sitting on the dashboard.
It's a nipple.
It's Nickelback.
It's not even a nickel. It's
a nipple. It's an areola.
You're like, it's a nipple. I'm like, Chad Kroeger showed up, and he's like, it's Nickelback.
Look at this photograph.
Every time I let Max Miles.
You're so much singing in this episode.
Why did we film a musical?
Every time I hear it makes
it's
me.
It's a musical episode. It happens in every great show.
I feel like I may have started this with Hannah Montana. Sorry.
You did. Yeah, you did.
Once she gets home, she decides to pour herself a big fuck off glass of wine. Same.
Same.
And tries to do some work. Relatable. But of course, because we're in an episode of Ghost Whisperer, she looks out the window to see a small child playing by himself, not with himself.
I was like, oh my god, he's playing with himself out on the lawn. He's just like,
it's just a small child playing in the front yard. Jennifer Love Hewitt is very uncomfortable.
I actually loved Ghost Whisperer though. I really did love that show. That was an iconic show. Anyway, she heads outside only to find the boy has disappeared. We're fucking terrified. The following morning, Kayla wakes up in absolute panic to the alarm system finally popping the fuck off for once. She rushes downstairs only to find it's old mate Fiona. Kayla's super confused about how she's got in and knew the alarm code, and Fiona's like, babe, you told me the alarm code. Are you okay? Kayla's like, now you say that, I'm actually not. I'm actually not okay. So they start discussing what's been going on, and Fiona asks if she's noticed anything odd going on in the house, and Kayla's like, look, now that you say that, there's been some things. Kayla starts describing things that have been going on in the house, and Fiona's like, oh, babes, think you've got a ghost in your house. And suddenly it's like paranormal activity up in this bitch.
Again, burn the house down.
All right. So we pick up where we left off. Fiona is like, okay, don't tell the dead people that they are dead, okay, though? That's a big no-no. Don't do that. And I'm going to lock that away for later in my brain when I do find a ghost. I'm not going to tell us that it's dead.
Yeah, and I stay
the fuck
away. Me and
Kayla will sob in the corner while you do that.
So they end up agreeing to get Fiona's sister in for a little seance. Fiona tells our girl that sometimes when spirits die tragically or violently, sometimes their souls can't pass on. And our girl automatically thinks of Michael, the fucking little cunt.
R.I.P. Actually, don't.
Rest in pieces, actually.
Rest in fucking pieces, shit.
We then get another chapter of Dante's letters. This one is bleak. It's about his cat dying and how he got where he is because he loved too fiercely. We get this quote, but most of all, love means sacrifice. Whatever love asks of you must be given, no matter the price. And I'd gladly give what love asked of me 1,000 times over, even if I had to do it every day until the end of eternity. I'd slice open my own veins with a razor blade and happily bleed myself dry. Fucking.
Kayla's giving us a demonstration.
Oh my god. While our girl is figuring this shit out, Aiden calls her and he's giving her some space. But she doesn't want it. But Aiden gives her what she needs. That might not always be what she fucking wants, Aiden, okay? And women can do no wrong, so fuck
women's
it up.
Rights, women's wrongs.
Exactly. She ends up heading over to his apartment and we get this swoon moment, which is, do you stand there and listen for my footsteps on the stairs? Yep. It's all I can do not to run out in the parking lot like a fucking lunatic the minute your car pulls up. He goes from swoon to shut the fuck up and take that dick like a good girl in 0.5 of a second. The quote is, look at you on your knees for me, my hard cock in your mouth, your eyes begging for me to fuck you. Do you have any idea how beautiful you are? How perfect?
Oh my god.
She chokes on the cock. So they fuck. There's some primal play here where he chases his bunny. And again, if anyone ever called me bunny, I'd fucking throat punch them. But pop off, Kayla, get it. He catches her and then fucks her in the anus.
Ah!
They don't even really use lube.
They don't prepare the anus for it.
He's like, no, my bunny's ready.
She's like,
she was made ready.
That's how you get a rectal tear. But that's also a thing. She was like, I don't need a safe word because there is not a limit. Actually, the limit does not exist for how hard you can penetrate this pussy.
And I'm like, actually, tushy.
Tushy.
Actually, I will be in your asshole.
Touch your toes, bitch. So during the post-fuck glow, we somehow get onto the topic of her still wearing her wedding band. And it is definitely weird now that we're thinking about it because fucking yikes. She just got chased around and fucked in the ass by her hot handyman who calls her her bunny. Super weird. Iffy vibes, take the ring but whatever. Off. Just take it off.
Well, he's already in her ring, so.
True. So, Aiden is a killer and he's more than happy to kill her husband if need be, but she's like, no, he's not hurting me, obviously.
He's dead.
He makes, well, he's not, but he's she is.
He's in her arsehole.
Oh, God, the ghost.
Yeah. He makes her promise that she'll end things if she needs to before he falls in love with her. And that sounds like a great fucking plan, guys. That sounds really fucking foolproof. Like,
yes,
never
super.
Heard a better plan. So we get another memory flashback when Kayla tells Aiden that she had a miscarriage quite far along the journey of pregnancy. Don't know why I had to add in so much.
Journey of pregnancy.
Don't know why I had in so much.
If you didn't know what journey she was talking about. Yeah. There was a fetus in the womb.
And the fetus the did yeet us.
It did yeet the fuck out of that fetus. Mm. It said, so, see you fucking later. I don't want to be here.
Jesus. All right, we get this quote, which is, a memory hits me like a punch to the gut. Pain, screaming, blood coursing down my bare thighs, crawling over the office floor and sobbing, trying desperately to get to the telephone on the wall. It's a jumble of impressions that come all at once, like a clip from a movie played too fast with the sound turned all the way up. But whose voice is that? The screaming doesn't sound like mine. It's a stranger's voice, full of rage, bearing down on me like a hurricane. Rock me like a hurricane. Sorry.
Do we think that if it feels like a stranger's voice, could it possibly be the family that has moved into the house? Like she's experiencing the mum.
Does anyone remember that song? Everything.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that she doesn't remember Michael as being rage-filled at this point in time. It is Michael, though.
Yeah,
that's right. You know what? He kicks it because he thinks it's an
he
alien.
Kicks her in the stomach.
Do you know what song this makes me think of?
What?
I say, yeah, I can predict an earthquake. I'll be...
Earthquake by Labyrinth?
Yeah.
No, that just, you said that. Hurricane, earthquake, natural disaster, children's limbs.
Oh my God, the children hurricane.
It's the hurricane.
It's Hurricane Abby.
Abby?
I'm so worried about us collectively and also I know.
So we quickly sidestep that trauma and instead we get more trauma, but for the environment because our girl is getting fucked in the woods.
There is bark, there is dirt in your caboosey.
There may
the lips,
be bugs.
You're exfoliating in a way you don't need to down there. And it's
she's
just...
red, raw, and ready to go.
Oh, my God. She is. It's very alarming.
Do you know what? That's a UTI waiting to happen.
Oh, my God. They're like, we need some lube. And they look at some tree sap nearby.
Or like a dead bug and they just get the juices.
Just send yourself into fucking therapy.
Starting from tomorrow morning.
You know what? I'm telling my therapist about this. I'll be like, Kayla's fucking weird.
You'll message me and I won't reply because I will be dead. Gone.
She is the bug.
I am the bug in the vagina. Oh, dear. In her pussy.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
All right. The quote is, I'm going to fuck you so hard, bunny. You're going to take your master's cock on your hands and knees, totally naked, in the middle of the woods. Slay.
Say less.
There's one point where he's fucking her and he has like his thumb in her butt and a thumb in her mouth. And I'm imagining like the pretzel state she must be in, covered in dirt and in her own slippery like wetness, you know?
And then they just swap thumbs and then he changes from one thumb.
You're sucking your ass. Afterwards, he's like, oh my God, I am so sorry. But she's like, babes, I wanted to be fucked in the forest. Honestly, this is what I needed. And to have a thumb in my bum and in my mouth simultaneously and then swapped.
Oh, so, not the swapping because then it'd be poo in the mouth.
Eat your ass, bitch. Because
he's swapping from the butt to the mouth. Then he goes back around, then he goes back around, then he goes back around.
Bacteria! You would taste your own lunch.
It definitely wasn't a curry. That would be going right through it.
Oh, God. He pulls out his thumb. It's orange.
He's pulling out his thumb. More just keeps coming out.
Gonna plug that hole, actually.
just put it back in.
Gonna need a plunger. God, how did we get here?
She prolapses. She prolapses and a bunny rabbit comes out of her arsehole. Okay, moving right along. Both Kayla and Aiden admit their feelings are stronger than they initially anticipated, but Aiden says that they need space. Okay. They're moving too quickly and he doesn't want to give her any regrets. He doesn't want to give her regrets. No, it's like an STD. She begs him not to, but he knows that it's for the best. She ends up going for a tarot card reading a day or so later and pulls the Ten of Swords for her past, meaning betrayal, the Lovers for her present, and Death as her future card. Reversed though, which means that she's holding on to the past, which is resisting change for her future.
Reverse.
You know reverse.
That's what I think. Slide to the left.
Slide to the right. Crisscross.
Crisscross.
So yeah, she's resisting change for her future. She ends up also picking the Magician card, and they link it to illusions relating to the Betrayal card. Funny. Taylor recalls the work colleague crying at Michael's funeral and is like, betrayal, illusions. Anyway, no, just absolute pivots away from that. There's letters back and forth from Dante, and then our girl gets spooked by a ghosty boy again, and she feels like she's losing her fucking mind, which, same sis. She keeps having dreams of drowning horribly and decides okay, let's do the fucking seance, Fiona. Let's fucking do it.
Not a feeling I would relate
to. You would never do a fucking seance. That is terrifying.
Me, I would. Absolutely fucking not.
Okay, we start off with Taylor, Fiona, and Claire performing a seance in Michael's office. We find out there's one spirit and they want revenge, but we don't know what for. Our girl, Kayla, gets spooked and she just dips. She hides in the kitchen and Fiona and Claire come and find her and discuss that it's a good thing there's only one spirit and perhaps Kayla can help it move on by getting its revenge. Fiona and Claire stay with Kayla after a life jacket is left on the doorstep. They've decided it's too juicy to leave her to it tonight. Weird things start to happen. Lights are flickering, doors are slamming. Michael's queen just pops out the fucking ceiling along with Kayla's wedding ring as well as something else.
It's just a butt plug.
It's a bunny.
It's going back for her. Actually, Aiden's thumb. Needed plugging.
That's the butt plug.
Just Aiden's thumb drops from the ceiling.
The one that was in Kayla's ass.
And curry also pops out this fridge at the same time.
And a whole curry in a bowl all ready to go. It's microwave ready, nice and warm.
Didn't even wash it.
It's kind of hygienic.
Fiona and Claire tell Kayla to call the detective who interviewed her after Michael's death, saying they don't have much time. Kayla calls for him but finds out he died from a sudden cardiac arrest. They then go and look up the deed to the house, find out that another couple's name is on it, which is a bit weird considering Kayla still lives there. And Kayla realizes that Fiona and Claire are looking at her really pitifully, like Destiny, the psychic from earlier, was looking at her as she left after her reading. Claire calls the police back and is informed that the detective passed away 6 months prior. Kayla is confused as she spoke to him 2 months ago at the dock after the accident where Michael dies.
Oh, gosh.
Things are getting weird. Fiona explains that only a few people can see ghosts, and so can other ghosts, though they don't always recognize each other as such. Taylor is then thinking about Dante's letters, calling her a storm, and remembering what Fiona told her. A spirit is energy manifesting itself. Taylor comes to the realization that she is a ghost.
That would be really fucking difficult. You're like, oh my god, I'm so excited to go shopping next week, once I finish grieving and moving on, and then it's like, actually, you're dead.
I'd be like, that's a dream come true.
Yes,
slay. Honestly, you don't have to worry about what size you are anymore. Nah, I'm dead. Who cares?
Yeah.
Kayla starts to remember things that have happened in the past. The security system recording just static, not receiving calls back from the roofers that she was trying to get in touch with, and the handyman not having a cell phone. Then we get the quote, "Reality is simply what we believe it to be. Each of us makes our own truth, even ghosts." Kayla starts to panic and she calls Eddie, the original handyman, who is a bit high, and a man named Mark answers and tells her that his grandfather, Eddie, died in 1974.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Everybody's dead here. We come back to the letters from Dante Alighieri and note that they now say they're from Aiden Leewright. Kayla is sobbing at this point. Same, honestly.
Yeah, look, fair. That's pretty traumatic.
Just another day.
She flees to Michael's office where she finds newspaper from earlier and opens it and sees the title isn't Local Man Drowns, it's actually Local Man Drowns Wife with a picture of Michael. Kayla screams, she causes the windows to explode before noticing the little boy that she saw earlier is cowering behind Fiona and Claire, who screams when he notices her.
Fair.
Kayla realizes Michael didn't die, Aiden did, and Michael killed him right before he killed me. Bum, bum, bum!
Oh,
the twist
is such a
mic drop.
It's very hard for books to surprise me at the moment, and this one genuinely did.
It was
it's a fucking shocker.
I was like, oh shit, she did.
It was a bit of a stitch up, honestly. She didn't get any stitches though, because there was no actual wound.
No, she was just drowned.
She's dead.
She was a bit soggy, actually.
Oh my god, it's not Aiden fucking her. She's actually on the bottom of the ocean and she's getting fucked by a sea cucumber.
Alright, then we get a short chapter from Fiona's POV with some brief information that Kayla's story still needs to be told, so obviously it's not over yet. We then get an Aiden chapter, we find out Michael has paranoid schizophrenia, went off his meds because he thought he didn't need them, and we find out that Michael is actually the reason that Kayla had a miscarriage, which we talked about earlier, and he kicked her in the stomach. We find out that he was also violent with her once before, grabbing her arm roughly the day before their wedding, which explains the thumb-shaped bruise that she mentioned in the photo earlier.
I thought you said bum cheek bruise.
And that the thing where he kicks her in the stomach for the miscarriage, that's because he thinks she's been impregnated by aliens, isn't it? Yeah.
We also find out that Michael has been stalking Kayla since they separated, which explains the creepy man in the trench coat that bares his teeth and is a little bit creepy. And then we get the quote, dying for her was the only choice. Chapter 39, we get a scene from Kayla. She's still alive. We get a funeral that she held for her marriage and the baby she lost. She also then goes to Aiden because she's had clarity. She's taken off her wedding rings. She's ready. She's done. She's had her space. She's all good to move forward. They spend time together. Aiden tells her about a poet who's Dante Alighieri. Aiden says his heaven is her, which we were talking about Dante's poem writing and how heaven is very individual, etc., etc. Kayla tells him that she's in love with him. The chapter ends after they tell each other that they're inseparable, and then we get the quote, New Year's Eve arrives, and with it, the end.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum.
Love bum, it. Bum, bum, bum.
As said by James Charles. Wow, this is really a singing episode. Sorry, everyone.
The next chapter, Kayla and Aiden have just had a fuck fest. They talk about how much they love each other and they're planning on taking the boat out to watch the fireworks for New Year's Eve. Kayla is below deck getting shit ready, and she goes up. She finds Michael holding Aiden at gunpoint, who is convinced that Aiden is with the CIA and after his equations, which is a big part of his delusions. Kayla tells him they're friends. Aiden is in construction, so Michael points the gun at her instead. In an effort to prevent Kayla from getting hurt, Aiden tells Michael that he's been lying to Kayla to get close to her in order to gain access to Michael's equations because he wants to save her life. He knows that shit's going down. Kayla is terrified. Michael decides she's also in the CIA, informs them they have to decide who dies or he'll kill them both. He's pointing the gun at Kayla's face, so Aiden tells Kayla, I'll love you until the end of time. He then tells Michael to shoot him, lunges at Michael, and is shot in the head and killed.
So traumatic.
Trauma.
Kayla drops on top of Aiden's body, screaming hysterically when she's pistol whipped by Michael to the back of the head before being dragged to the edge of the boat and rolled off. Michael holds her underwater by the neck and laughs while he does it. His buffalo coin falls out of his pocket, past her face, and that's that. Our next chapter has Kayla with the blinds lifted. She can see that the house doesn't look the same as it did before. She now remembers what happened before, how she died and how Aiden died. The doorbell rings yet again, like it has throughout the whole fucking book, except actually there's someone there this time and it's Aiden.
I was going to say it's the Mormons.
Have you heard of the Lord Jesus Christ?
This is where I actually got really teary. Aiden tells Kayla, I told you I'd wait forever if I had to. Aiden knew that they were both dead and was responsible for some of the things that were happening in the house during the haunting, like the coin and the stuff during the seance, but the rest was Kayla just fucking everything up. Aiden and Kayla then decide to pay a visit to old mate Michael in the prison. He's being held at the prison on charges of murder. This is pretty much the bulk of the book. We next get the epilogue. It's done in the format of a transcript of a conversation between a Dr. Templeman, who is probably a psychiatrist of some kind, and Michael. Michael doesn't think he should be held responsible as he's experiencing a psychotic break. Dr. Templeman, however, advises him that because of the history of going off his meds, his affair with the co-worker, which explains the sobbing co-worker at the
at the funeral.
Get wrecked, I guess. and him taking a life insurance policy against Kayla that she didn't know about, it shows he had intent for her to die.
They always do that. They always do the life insurance thing, you fucking idiot.
During this whole transcript with the psychiatrist and Michael, Michael becomes really distracted, gets very agitated, starts getting very upset, and he starts saying it's her and him both. They're saying boo. So, terrified in a corner.
I love the thought of them both just being like, fuck you up.
Michael is then restrained, medicated with some antipsychotics, and taken to the psychiatric department for further evaluation. And the book ends. That's it. We're done.
I have thought of a music reference. Let me know what you guys think. It's Earthquake by Labyrinth, or Hannah Montana, or...
Mother Lover.
Mother Lover. There's so many options at this stage. But I was actually thinking Just Pretend by Bad Omens. So it's like, so will you wait me out, or will you drown me out? I can wait for you at the bottom. I can stay away if you want me to. I can wait for years if I gotta. Heaven knows I ain't getting over you.
It's a great song.
It is. Yeah.
Honestly, Bad Omens, such a banger. And I couldn't find any fan art for this, and that's not uncommon with Smart Busters. Thank you so much to Tay Reads and Kate's Book Rex.
That's the one.
Yeah. For joining us. We were so lucky and thankful and loved having you both here for this. We will have both Tay Reads and Kate back at some stage. Next week, we will be back with Belladonna by Adeline Grace.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube if you haven't already, at A Book and a Bev Podcast. Please rate, like, and subscribe. We hear that helps. We love and appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.